This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings, our first program of the brand new year. And to help us to kick off 2021 in fashion and in style and with aplomb is Mr. Joe McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connects. You can find him at rippleconnects.com, 763-438-1621. And a hearty Happy New Year to you, Joe McKenzie.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. Happy New Year to you and another year of new beginnings in the Twin Cities, talking about ways boomers, baby boomers can live that rich and engaged lifestyle in a healthy way. I'm excited. My mentor, that's you, I always say, imagine the possibilities. And let's imagine the possibilities in 2021 of where we can deliver for the New Beginnings listeners.
I'm really excited about that because we're taking this new tact and we're just really exploring some ideas that can help our baby boomers to live a more productive, more fulfilling life.
Yeah.
And one of those things that we want to share today talks about the benefits of a job sharing arrangement. Now, I know that some people have a high level idea of what a job sharing arrangement is, but what is the real working definition of that, Joe McKenzie?
It's just simply that a job is shared by two people working in the same position, either in a part-time or reduced time schedule, and sharing the responsibilities of that position that maybe one full-time employee would fulfill. And I want to bring this forward because maybe someone's not ready to fully retire, but they want to have more balance in their life. Maybe they want to travel. Maybe they want to spend time with family, start a business, what have you. If just the fact that we bring up the topic of a job sharing arrangement with an employer mm-hmm. helps someone to make their plan for 2021 with what they want to do, let's be that resource to talk about it and give them additional resources so they can do their own due diligence.
Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie about job sharing, a job sharing arrangement. And in this time of COVID, where a lot of people are working remotely, I would imagine mm-hmm. that there is some extreme flexibility in a job sharing arrangement.
Absolutely. And even pre-COVID, when you may have still had to go in, say if you only work 20 hours a week and you had additional 20 hours in that week to do what you wanted. Yes, I think a job sharing arrangement for someone that's looking is not ready to retire completely. Mm-hmm. I think a job sharing arrangement is a way to, you know, look at it. And it's, obviously, you have to know your employer. You have to know the marketplace and if an employer is going to be open to that. But if we go through our lives thinking that it has to be almost a switch to say, I'm done, I'm retired. Well, maybe a job sharing arrangement is a better option for you. And there's a number of benefits for having that arrangement. Say you're 65 years old or 70 years old, but you love your job.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to completely quit, but you want to do some traveling. You want to spend time with family. You want that. You want a little bit more flexibility. I think a job sharing arrangement is something you should at least take a look at.
Wow. So it's not just a stop, but it's a merge into a new opportunity.
I like that. Merging into something that may be the new normal for you.
That's interesting. Everybody, in case you just joined us, we're talking about the benefits of a job sharing arrangement. And this is a nice, I think it is, and you just mentioned it a second ago, it's a nice segue into a retirement. And this can be a really well thought out plan as well, Joe.
Yes. If you're looking to retire in the next couple of years, but you don't want to completely stop what you're doing, I think this is something you start having conversations with either your current employer or a potential employer. They're going to see the gifts of, or the talent that they can maybe keep you on board longer if you're willing to take an arrangement of maybe 20 hours a week or 18 hours a week, because you're going to benefit and the employer's going to benefit because they don't lose you. You know, I think it's a win-win for all parties. And I think the corporate workspace world is starting to understand that there's a lot of good talent that may be retiring. How do we retain good talent? And they may be open to a job sharing arrangement that you may have. So you do have to become your own advocate by mentioning this is something you'd consider. You don't want to just let it happen. You want to be an advocate for yourself and maybe plant some seeds with this sooner than later, I would think, in your retirement planning.
Some 5 years ago, there was talk about mind share laws at different corporations, and some retirees were given packages to come back as consultants. Do you still see that happening right now, Joe McKenzie, or is there something else afoot at the present?
No, I still think that's the case, where there's a lot of good talent that is leaving the workforce, and corporations are doing what they can to retain good talent. And so either in a consultant role or a job sharing arrangement, they still have that talent. You might share that job with someone that you almost be in a mentoring role for that next person that's in that role. So you're working with another person. You might find yourself in a role of mentoring, but you see it as a collaborative approach. You know your benefits of having better work-life balance because of this position. I do think corporations are trying to get innovative on how do they keep good talent around, especially now with COVID and some of the challenges. We've all had to adapt our business models. So many things have changed. Let's have the people that have been through a lot of the changes over the years. Let's find a way to retain them for the betterment of our company.
And you talked about earlier in our notes that this is a good way to keep good people in an organization.
Yes, that ability to keep, but also that share those gifts. We talked about it last week, sharing those gifts that the boomers have as we approach new challenges in everyday work life. What better way to have everybody on board working towards a common goal or that mission by sharing those gifts? If I knew I had someone that was looking to retire, I'd try to find a way to keep that person at least in a position where they can be advisory or consulting or mentoring, but also allow that person to enjoy some of their retirement years with better work-life balance. And if this segment's going to be about healthy balance and health wellness lifestyle, I think we've given someone an actionable step to at least consider maybe not completely turning the switch off to work, but maybe ease into it, or to use your words, merge into retirement. What are your thoughts?
I think that makes a lot of sense. And especially we've had a lot of the conversations about stress that COVID has enacted or exacted on people across this country and around the world. And when you talk about a healthier work-life balance, I think that merging into a new opportunity or a new lifestyle is certainly healthy. And it can really help a person to decompress while not actually being away and instantly cutting off an income.
I agree. I mean, the ability to have that, some of that retirement income coming in, just that structure, the purpose that you're going to have, maybe only do it for 3 to 5 years. But, you know, that might be where it helps you live a better retirement, maybe just out of that structure, that purpose, that retirement income, growth. Staying engaged, staying connected versus isolated and wondering where did all that structure go? Where did all my friends go? Well, they're in the workplace. Here we found a better way to still have that ability to enjoy retirement, but also to stay engaged and do what you've been doing for so many years that you may love and you don't want to give up quite yet.
What would you give our audience as homework to do, something, an actionable item they can do this weekend as they think about a job sharing arrangement and taking that merge into retirement?
Do your own due diligence. Read about it. Go to Indeed.com to the career guide. Learn more about the benefits and how that's arranged and how human resources approaches this type of arrangement. Forbes has some very good articles too about maybe this is the innovation that corporations have been looking for, how to retain good talent. Instead of letting someone go into retirement, we can keep good talent. And LinkedIn. Obviously, there's great content on LinkedIn about job sharing. Those are places to start, Freddie, in my estimation, on what is job sharing And then obviously that next step, once you have an idea of what that looks like, sooner than later, because you don't want to spring it on your employer at the last second, but start planning towards it. Plant that seed of you'd be open to this. And if not, if you can't find it in that current employer, start talking to your professional network about what you'd like to do. You may go into a completely different industry, Freddie, but still sharing those transferable skills, that leadership and experience in a job share arrangement.
I hear us talking about that bench of advocates coming up soon. Joe McKenzie, we're out of time, but you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And we've got more. Stay right there.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit rippleconnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to rippleconnects.com.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
Quantum physics and psychology have proven conclusively that you get what you expect. If you expect something different will happen.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
Do you ever get that thought that says, if I could just get myself out of the way, everything would be all right? That feeling suggests an inner turmoil, but through focusing on peace and calm, you can turn things around. It's a little known secret. Instead of self-defeating statements and feelings, if we can just remember that even though we feel we may have fallen short, we always have a second chance to do our best. If you make a mistake, take a misstep, or flounder, that's all it is. It's not the real you. Just relax and know that you have the power to focus on the task at hand and begin again. As you practice this technique, you'll find yourself getting better and better day by day. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And with us is Dr. Sarah Vetter. She is the Assistant Division Director of the Minnesota Department of Health in the area of the Public Health Laboratory for the department. She, in that role, she oversees clinical laboratory testing in the infectious disease, newborn screening, and environmental laboratory sections. She earned a BS and a PhD in microbiology from the University of Minnesota. And prior to that, she completed a research fellowship at the CDC DVBD in Fort Collins, Colorado, and she's also served as a manager of the Infectious Disease Laboratory Section at the Minnesota Department of Health. And I'm wondering, can you tell us a little bit about symptoms, Dr. Vetter, and when a person should first go in for testing?
Sure, absolutely. So the symptoms of COVID-19 are pretty broad. So they include cough, shortness of breath, fever, chills, headache, muscle pain, sore throat, and loss of taste or smell. And if you experience any of these symptoms, we encourage you to get testing as soon as possible.
What if a person says, well, look, Dr. Vedder, my symptoms are relatively mild. When I clear my throat, it seems to go away. I'm not really having any chills, but I do have a headache from time to time. Is that person really a candidate for testing?
You know, in this time where we are seeing so much disease activity and we are, you know, there's a lot of mild symptoms, and we think it's really important that people with COVID-19 are found and, you know, making sure they're not circulating in the community, I would say, yeah, if you feel like you should get tested, you should get tested.
Well, everybody, we're talking with Dr. Sarah Vedder. She is the Assistant Division Director of the Public Health Laboratory at the Minnesota Department of Health. And I'm wondering, we've got new CDC guidelines for testing that says that if you have symptoms that you should quarantine for 14 days, but then that's been relaxed a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Dr. Vedder?
Absolutely. So something important to keep in mind is that we are still learning about this virus. You know, back 6 months ago, we were still learning, you know, at what point somebody was contagious with the virus and for how long. And so we took, you know, a more conservative stance for what we knew at the time. And so we've continued to learn, and we've continued to learn, like, what is at the most risk. And we also recognize the hardship of people spending 14 days at home. So what the new guidance does is give a little bit more flexibility. So if you've been exposed to somebody who has COVID-19 and you stay home for 10 days and you don't see any symptoms, then we're thinking that the risk is really low that you are going to develop any symptoms and be sick. And so we're giving you the okay to go out. The other option is if you've been exposed and you get tested 5 days after that exposure by a PCR and you are you're found to be negative, then, you know, your quarantine can be over. But, you know, at the same time, it's always okay to be safe. If 14 days is still okay to stay home for that long as well.
Everyone, Dr. Vedder with us, and we're talking about the new CDC guidelines that talk about when you should, how long you can be quarantined. So there's a 14-day, a 7-day, and there's a 10-day. Can you tell us the difference between those?
Yeah. So, I mean, the 7 days is if you get tested and you are negative. So that's that one. The other one is if you don't want to get tested or you can't get tested, then you can stay home for 10 days. Mm-hmm. Where we're asking people to stay home for 14 days are people at a little bit more risk to spreading in the community. And that means people who work in a congregate care setting, people who live in a congregate care setting, and anybody who has a household member that's been diagnosed with COVID-19.
All right. Dr. Sarah Vedder with us this morning on New Beginnings. And we're talking, what about if a person, it's interesting, we had back in the summertime, there were a number of people who were protesting and demonstrating, yet we did not see a really big uptick in people with COVID-19. Yet now we're looking at the holidays and so forth, and we're concerned about being overrun with people coming down with COVID. What's the difference between the two groups?
Mm-hmm. The big difference is in the environment in which we're seeing people gather. During the civil unrest, the gathering of people was outside, generally. And what we're learning is that if you are in an environment where there's a lot of air circulation, such as the outdoors, the virus doesn't spread very easily. However, when you're inside in an enclosed space with little air circulation, so like, you know, somebody's living room or kitchen, and you're with, you know, people for, multiple hours, that is what increases your chance of transmission. And that is the big difference of what we're seeing now versus then.
In terms of people who are first responders, those critical infrastructure individuals, people who work in our business, like in broadcasting, what would be the guidance for the stay-at-home, the 10-day, the 14-day testing? What would you suggest for those kind of individuals?
I'm actually just reviewing the guidance myself to make sure I don't misspeak here.
Okay.
You know, it's always safest to stay home for 14 days. We definitely, you know, if you are in healthcare, congregate care, or, you know, or congregate living, if you work in any of those settings, or you're just working with a group of people who could be, you know, adversely, you know, affected, really susceptible to this disease, we recommend 14 days. Other than that, you know, the 10 days is okay as long as you continue to monitor your symptoms for the full 14 days.
All right. How can we get more information? I know that there's a lot of at-home testing. Is one better than another? Is community testing better? What would you suggest?
You know, there's a lot of good testing options out there. The best test is called an RT-PCR test. That's the type of testing that involves a nose swab or saliva in a tube. And what that test is looking for are pieces of genetic material. And that's a very sensitive and specific test. That test is widely available. One option is to go to one of the many community sites that the state of Minnesota has set up. And those are all saliva sites where you'll go and spit in a tube and you'll get your answer in a day or two.
All right. Do you have a final thought for us this morning, Dr. Vetter, on community testing and different strategies that we can do to stem the spread of COVID-19 and get this under control?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, at the core of it, this virus passes from person to person. So as much as we can stay apart from each other and practice those social distancing and, you know, only gather with people from our own household, then we minimize the chance for the virus to spread. And that's our best strategy for getting out of this pandemic.
All right. And I'm assuming that we can go to the Minnesota Department of Health website for more details.
Absolutely.
All right. Dr. Sarah Vetter with us this morning, the Assistant Division Director of the Public Health Laboratory for the Minnesota Department of Health. I'm Freddie Bell, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
We're talking to Kathy. She's the project lead for the COVID Care Project with North Point Health and Wellness Center.
We are a call-in line so that you have a live person to talk to help you figure out what to do if you're feeling stressed out or worried, or how do you talk to your kids, and also to help hook you up to resources that might be available.
You can go to northpointhealth.org for more information, or you can call 612-767-9171.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health. Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight, that you can't stop smoking, that you can't get over a fear, that you can't. $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis, wake up to your success.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings Podcast today.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
And right now it's time to turn our attention to the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. It's our pleasure now to introduce the property manager for the center, Kitty Harris. And she's got some great things to share with us. That address, if you'd like to understand where they are, is at 1015 4th Avenue North. General number is 612-344-2221. Happy holidays, Kitty, and welcome back to the program.
Happy holidays, Freddie. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
You know, it was interesting. I know that typically the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center is just a real hub for activity with a lot of programs and events for the advanced age community with experiential things that happen. I remember the turkey dinners and so forth, the holiday dinners. But things have changed a little bit, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the center is closed to all activity.
Right. It definitely looks different this year with us without us having our annual holiday dinner and our, you know, as we usually partner with Gifts for Seniors every year to make sure that we're providing Christmas presents for the community and also Giving Tree and doing those different things. And so although we were not able to physically gather, we still did connect our residents to those resources in our high rises. And I have to give a shout out to the VOA social workers in our high rises who have done a great job, not only this holiday season, but through the pandemic in making sure that our residents had access to not only food resources, but clothing resources, health resources. And so we've had so many different organizations that have reached out and said, how can we help our seniors so that they don't feel isolated and they don't feel forgotten? And VOA has been key in being the connection and being on that front line for us to continue to provide that service.
So for those who don't understand what VOA does, Volunteers of America, how do they support the communities you serve?
So we have VOA social workers that are assigned certain buildings. We have contracts with them, and they're assigned certain senior buildings throughout North and South Minneapolis, and they work with residents around scheduling from things as small as scheduling rides to tax preparation to helping them get connected with mental health resources. And so they're that conduit in the building on a day-to-day basis for the Housing Authority because we have where the MPHA is like literally the largest landlord in the state of Minnesota. So our VOA social workers are very vital at being present in the buildings to help provide those connections to those resources that we have access to as a partner, but we're not, don't always have the staff manpower to physically be there to execute it.
Talk about your connection with the Public Housing Authority. I know that people are facing evictions and they're wondering what their tenant rights are and so forth. What can we say to help people who are going through those kinds of thought patterns or those kinds of instances right now where they may be facing eviction, they may have food insecurity and so on?
Well, we definitely encourage people to either call 311 or 611 to get more information. MPHA is currently still under its eviction moratorium. And that's a statewide prohibition. So we do encourage people, if you're having a situation where a landlord is coming to you during this time and trying to evict you due to non-payment, if you needed relief from COVID, that they should actually contact legal aid because that is illegal at this time. That statewide moratorium is in place until January the 10th. We do expect that that will be renewed. There's just so many different COVID-19 relief bills are ever changing. But there is still funding available in the Twin Cities area for not only Minneapolis, but St. Paul and the surrounding suburbs. And so if people would look online, they could always go to mphaonline.org, and there's links that can connect them to resources in the community on where you can get assistance with your late payments or where you can get assistance with rental assistance, not just being a Minneapolis public housing resident, but being a community member in the Twin Cities. But again, you can call United Way, you can call 311, you can call 611 to know that these moratoriums are still in place and people should not be having any eviction, any fear that they would get evicted while this is in place.
That's Kitty Harris. She is a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. Happy New Year to you, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
As we continue now into the new year, talking about your money. And let's talk specifically about mortgage rates, because mortgage rates are seen as steady this month as the year begins with mortgage rates near historically low levels, with the 30-year fixed rate mortgage averaging under 3%. Holden Lewis with NerdWallet tells us that rates will remain low in January. Today's mortgage rates sprouted from the pandemic and the resulting recession in which millions of jobs withered. Some of the jobs lost will return in 2021, but the economy is unlikely to flourish enough to push mortgage rates significantly higher in January, or indeed in the first half of this year, according to Lewis. He says more than 6 million homeowners refinanced in the first 9 months of 2020, and millions more could save money by refinancing, according to Black Knight, that's a mortgage analytics company. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage was around 4% APR at the beginning of 2020 and had fallen to around 3% in mid-December. At an interest rate of 4%, the monthly principal and interest payment on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage for $200,000, for example, is $954.83. At an interest rate of 3%, the payment is only $843.21. It's small wonder that millions of people refinanced last year. And because of lower rates, borrowed money goes further in 2021 than it went in the beginning of 2020. Lewis says here's the effect on buying power when the 30-year fixed mortgage rate drops from 4% to 3%. He says at an interest rate of 4%, you can borrow $209,500 with a principal and interest payment of about $1,000 a month. At 3%, you can borrow $237,000 with a principal and interest payment of about $1,000 a month, or $27,700 more. Here are three caveats to this news, he says. Number one, there are not enough homes for sale to meet the demand. Of homes sold in October, 72% were on the market less than a month, that according to the National Association of Realtors. Because demand for homes exceeds supply, prices are going up fast. Simple supply and demand. Number two, rising home prices have roughly kept pace with the increased loan affordability. The median price of an existing home went up 15.5% in the 12 months ending in October, that according to the National Association of Realtors. And meanwhile, the example shows that borrowing power increased 13% with a 1 percentage point drop in the interest rate. And then number three, millions of people are jobless. Without steady income, they are not able to qualify for mortgages. So, as we said at the outset, that 2020 was a brutal year. And here's hoping that this year's economy recovery brings good jobs to people who were laid off or endured reduced income. And when people are ready to buy homes this year, we hope that low mortgage rates will await them. And that's the message from Holden Lewis for Nerd Wallet. You're listening to New Beginnings this weekend, and we're glad that you're with us. And I'm wondering if you're among the 3/4 of holiday shoppers who were expected to use credit cards to purchase gifts this year. Make sure you know how to dig out of the debt that you may have rung up. Otherwise, you still might be paying off debt late into 2021. Here's how to handle holiday debt. First, catalog your holiday expenses. Log into each credit account and note the balance and interest rate. Consider creating a simple spreadsheet or using a debt tracker to keep accounts organized. If you have debt that's not on a credit card, such as a shopping loan from a company such as Klarna, list that too. With your debt sorted, turn to your budget. The 50, 30, 20 budget is an easy template. With this approach, half of take-home pay goes toward necessities like housing and groceries. I know you've heard this before. Then 30% goes towards wants. Lastly, 20% of your income goes toward debt and savings. As you hash out your budget, pin down how much money you can allocate toward debt each month. Divide the total debt by that amount to estimate how fast you can rid yourself of debt, keeping in mind that accruing interest can increase the balances. Focusing on what you can pay monthly helps make your debt more manageable, that according to Kathleen Burns Kingsbury, she's a Vermont-based wealth psychology expert. She says, ask what you can reasonably pay off each week or each month and really work at achieving it. She says, the best route to resolving holiday debt depends on your cash flow, credit score, and personal preferences. Options include, if you have the cash, pay off the balance in full. I know we've heard that one before, and that's the fastest way to deal with debt and the cheapest since you avoid paying interest. The debt snowball and debt avalanche are two popular debt payoff methods. Which is right for you depends on your financial priorities. With the debt snowball method, you focus on paying off the smallest balance first, then roll the amount you are paying on that first debt into the next largest. The amount you're paying on the focus debt keeps growing, like a snowball rolling downhill. You might choose this if you need the early wins from paying off the first accounts to keep you motivated. The debt avalanche method may be best if you want to pay as little in interest as possible. With this route, you prioritize paying off the debt with the highest interest rate first, regardless of balance size. And finally, take decisive action to resolve your debt and ensure that you are debt-free faster, and maybe you can start building up savings for the December 2021 holiday season. I'm Freddie Bell, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
With me is our friend from West Metro Hypnosis, Kelly Von Heidekamp. She is the founder, and you can find her online at westmetrohypnosis.com, 952-222-3975. Happy New Year, and hello, Kelly.
Hi, Freddie, and Happy New Year to you, and Happy Healthy New Year to all of our listeners out there. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited to do the first mental reset of 2021 with you all. So just wherever you are at right now, just take a deep breath in. Exhale out. Feel what it feels like to arrive in your body, no matter what you are doing. For those of you that can really take a moment to go inward and where it's safe to close your eyes, you may do so. And just let the whole entire outer world become unimportant. For those of you who may be driving, notice how you can continue to be alert and focused and driving and still give your body's permission to relax. Perhaps all of you have felt the decompression of your shoulders, the letting go of tension in your neck. It feels good to take a moment and entertain new possibility. And that's what this new year is all about. A new year lying ahead of us, open, a clean slate, unknowing, excitement, hopeful. And so how do you see yourself moving forward? Create a picture in your mind. Let's use this time to create a definite picture of who you are in this new year. Sitting up a little taller, a little straighter, feeling that confidence begin to bubble up from within, allowing strength, poise, grace to come with it. Noticing that these inner resources don't come from anything on the outside, but must be called upon from within as you do so now. A new moment, a new time, a new space filled with possibility. Who will you be in this next moment? How will you show up? Don't put it off. Don't put it off until tomorrow or this afternoon or an hour from now. Be that new you. Be that new you right now. Not because anything was wrong with the old you, but because we are meant to grow and learn and discover. Be the new you right now. The new you, the you know you are possible of being. Right now, create that picture in your mind and then follow it up with the actions that match, that are in congruency with that picture of you. The old no longer holding you in limitation. A new slate, free, ready to launch, to be bold. This is the year to be bold, to go forth, to find your greatest good and highest benefit that begins right now. Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to all of our listeners, and you're listening to New Beginnings. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is a lesson already in progress.
There are several types of love, too many to go into in a Sunday morning lesson. When I was doing a little research, I realized that there were something like 19 or 21 aspects of love. We could be here for a week. I promise you we won't do that to you this morning. But we'll focus on three of those, one being love as desire, sympathetic love, and divine love, those three. And as a reminder of the order of our candles, the first candle that we lit a few Sundays ago represents peace. The second candle represents hope. I'm sorry, the first candle represents hope. The second candle represents peace, and today's candle represents love. Next week, we'll be talking about joy. Going back to love, love is a gift from God. And at Christmas time, we believe that our greatest gift is that of love. Advent, which also means a beginning, reminds us of the sacred meaning of Christmas time. And despite all the preparations that we are going through this time of year, like buying presents, many of those online, going to virtual parties, Advent reminds us to remember and to prepare for the birth of Jesus. Advent is the beginning. About 2 months or so ago, our senior minister, the Reverend James Stacy, said he loved me to give today's lesson. And I was kind of flattered because I thought, wow, this is the second or third time that I've given this lesson during the Advent season. And part of me thought, he must really like my work. And then another part of me was thinking that, man, he really loves my work. And as I thought about this invitation a little bit more, Holly, I realized that the Reverend's love for me to share a message with you this morning has nothing to do with his love for me at all. In fact, that's not true. It has everything to do with him. Why? I came to realize that Reverend's birthday falls in the third week of December, right in the middle of Advent, every year. So it's a different kind of love. This first love is a desire, his desire in this case, for me to share with you this morning. It's a wish. He said, Gerald, I love for you to deliver a message this day. This is the first kind of love that we're talking about this morning that we'll discuss. In this form of love, it's merely a wish for something to happen. Have you ever wished for something? I'd love for you to be a better person. It's an aspiration more than anything else. And we use it all the time. I'd love it if my boss were more lenient with me. I'd love to be in a much warmer climate this time of the year. This is more of a desired outcome. That's one type of love, and I would even submit that it's perhaps the lowest level of love that you can aspire to. So that's the first one. Another type of love is actually a sympathetic type of love. Sympathy is something temporary which is gone, especially when that person starts to feel a little better. It's a temporary emotion, a feeling sometimes of pity, sometimes of sorrow for someone else's misfortune. And many times, after the event or that emotion has passed, so does the sympathy, and so does the mistaken feeling of love for that individual or for that circumstance. Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, calls sympathy the lowest level of love. So when it comes to real love, its basis is more permanent in nature. Love is more eternal. The basic foundations of love are admiration and respect. On the other hand, sympathy is feeling in parallel with someone. Have you ever felt in parallel with someone who's going through something? Sometimes our chaplains can be in parallel with you, but they're also empathizing, understanding, not taking on that particular burden that you might have, but being one with you. You can sympathize with someone whom you don't know because of a shared experience, or you can imagine that experience. Think about a hungry child, because we know what it's like to be hungry. Although we may not know that individual, we can feel sympathy or even empathy for their situation. So we've talked about love as an aspiration. We've talked about love as sympathy for someone. And I mentioned there are a number of different ideas of love. We will not talk about love as a romantic aspect, but we all know that it does exist. So let's talk about the third aspect of love this morning, which is divine love. Divine love, that we can continue to love God in each other. That's what it means to love God in each other, no matter what the outer person does. That's big. We can love their light in every living cell of their being. And as Charles Fillmore explains it, love is an inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everybody. That's worth repeating. Love is an inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everybody. It insists that all love is good. It insists that all and everything is good. By refusing to see anything but good, it causes that quality to appear in all things. It's not really necessary for us to like all that we see in our world. I know I don't. We don't have to agree with the wrong things that people do, but regardless of appearances, we are urged to love the Christ in each person and in all things. Can you think of a place where God or the Spirit of God does not show up? In the circle of God's love, there is nothing to fear. And that's a big statement, isn't it? There is nothing to fear, especially in the state of today's affairs. Is there a condition that causes us dread or worry, or that seems antagonistic, that seems more than you can bear, that brings up a nervous feeling inside or brings a sense of friction? Have you ever experienced that? Somebody say yes. Yes. I'll tell you about the time that I worked for a wonderful corporation called Sprint. It's now T-Mobile. Before that, it was Nextel. And it seemed that every few months, there was news of layoffs across the country. There was almost a constant concern, a worry, that wave or the sword of Damocles would somehow swing through our office and we'd all be chopped off at some portion. I remember joining the company when it was Nextel, and not 60 days into the mission, they were talking about this merger with Sprint and that some people would lose their jobs. And I thought, my goodness, what have I done? And it seems like it was just a matter of time before one of us or all of us would get that yellow slip telling us that we were in a group to be rationalized.
You just heard a message coming from Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.